Can you tell us a little bit exactly what a customer journey is?
It's a tool for mapping all of your customer touch points and your entire customer's experience from their point of view over their entire journey with your company. There's a phase before the customer learns about you, specifically as the solution to their problem. Then there is the next stage. Once they've learned about you and they're making a decision and engaging with you in some way.
Okay.
Then there's a stage of once they have engaged, bought, used the service maybe, or the product, what's the next, the after?
Well, thanks for joining us for another episode of Go, Go, Grow. This time we're going to be talking about something that I've always found very interesting. And a lot of you may have heard of, I don't know if you're that familiar with it. It's called the customer journey. So Dasha, one of your areas of expertise is working with go-to-market strategies. Pretty diverse companies, technology, biomedical, space, defense, really a lot of those B2B companies that need a go-to-market strategy and they have some sort of technical bent. Yes. So those type of customer situations and customer journeys can be a little different than the average bear. So can you tell us a little bit exactly what a customer journey is?
Yeah, so let's start. It's a very broad concept, and this is why this tool is so powerful, because it can really be customized to multiple stages of your business. So let's talk about the basics. It's a tool for mapping all of your customer touch points and your entire customer's experience from their point of view over the life cycle, their entire journey with your company.
Okay.
It can be used for the purpose of discovery. Like you want to learn something about how your customer, their needs or how they find information, but it can also be a tool for design. You can use it to say, how are we going to do something? And then you plot out your ideas on how you're going to achieve those things throughout the life cycle. So you can use it for auditing, discovery, assessment. You can use it for design and development of your ideas for how you're going to ensure, you know, certain things happen through the life cycle.
So it sounds like it's not just in the initial go-to-market that you're doing like a product design for, but maybe new iterations?
Exactly. So in go-to-market, you know, you have to really do a lot of assumption planning because you've never been to the market that you're pursuing. And supposedly, especially if you're a high-tech company developing super novel product that is based on a technology that never existed. So you might be tackling a problem that has never been solved before in a way that hasn't been solved before. So you need to really think about your customer journey and interactions because if you're solving something in a new way, you need to be thinking about what are the new things that are kind of come up. So you do that first to kind of develop some assumptions and ideas and scenario plan for your customer experience. Once a company is established, anytime you change your product or service offering, anytime you're trying to introduce some new marketing or you want to ensure your process from marketing to sales to product development, customer service is consistent, this is a really valuable tool in a lot of different situations. And I've even actually the first time I used this tool very seriously in a company setting, it was in a corporate setting, and it was actually for an internal rollout of a new software because it was going to get rolled out across the entire company. And so the customer experience was actually our internal customer, our internal people. And because you're going to be affecting everybody and you got to know all the different things that are going to happen. So you have a plan for how you're going to solve them.
That's powerful.
So it's a very useful tool. Yeah. And that's why we got to cover it. We absolutely got to dive into it.
Absolutely. That sounds great. Now, in my primary world of sales and marketing, I see all of those uses for it. The thing I find fascinating with the two of us working together is you go into all those brilliant markets like biomedical. I know you do so much work with the University of Virginia with the biomedical students there and helping them get their product to market. So talk to me a little bit about how the customer journey map can help them identify whether or not a product is even viable. If there's a market, if it is, can it be used to even see if something can be commercialized?
Well, it can be a useful tool at that point. So, you know, a lot of medical devices, medical software, pharmaceuticals, surgical tools, all those kinds of things, they exist in a pretty complicated healthcare system. So you have multiple decision makers, you have hospital administration and the people who make decisions at that level, but you also have the individual doctors, and then you have the final beneficiary, which is the patient, and you also have somebody who pays for it, which is sometimes the government through Medicare or Medicaid, sometimes insurance, sometimes the patient. So you have a lot of different stakeholders. And if you're introducing, for example, a new medical device that has interaction, that is, has an interaction with the doctor who at the very least prescribes it or potentially uses it, and the insurance company that pays for it, you have to be thinking about the customer, the patient experience, or, you know, especially new devices, like once they get introduced, how is the person going to learn about it? What are the concerns they're going to have? What's the doctor's concerns going to be? The nurse's concerns? So being able to plot that out and understand the decision-making process, the touch points that people have, who gets involved in that, you can do that through the customer journey process. So you can start, for example, with the patient, right? That's where you maybe are first thinking about the problem. So you're thinking about, oh, this is going to really help some patients. But now this patient's going to this doctor, now they're going to that other doctor, now they're going to a physical therapist, now they're sitting down with somebody from insurance to approve it. What are all the different touch points that that customer is going through? What's their journey before everything is implemented, it works, and they use the device and they don't think about it ever again? They go on this journey. And through that, through doing this mapping, you're now finding out, okay, who is getting involved in that decision that I'm going to need to convince and make sure that they, not just from like an FDA safety perspective, but that they know what's going on, how to use it, what the purpose of it is. So there's an educational component, maybe a marketing component, but also you're now finding out whether you're going to have any problems going to market. Like, oh, well, when you get to the insurance point, well, now they're going to have these questions. Are you going to be able to answer those questions? Is this saving money for the hospital, or is this too difficult to implement, or do we have to train nurses to do it? Like, those things become important because you might have a really great solution, but there might be challenges that have nothing to do with your innovation that you are going to have to overcome in order to get your product to market. And the customer journey is a tool that can help you foresee those things by using a combination of your imagination, as well as talking to customers and stakeholders and actually getting data and information onto the field of the customer journey.
Wow. That just demonstrates just how critical, how powerful this tool is. Thank you for going into that detail. So you've given us a great example of how to use this internally. Mm-hmm. You've given us a fantastic example of how to prove a concept, prove commercialization, prove go to market. A lot of our viewers and listeners probably have a lower scale need, but they really want to understand this. So I kind of like to take it down a step to really lay out what the process is, what it entails. If ABC company, or let's make that SMB company, wants to implement their very first customer journey map, tell us what that process entails.
Okay, so you can think about the customer journey at first in just three main phases. There's a phase before the customer learns about you, specifically as the solution to their problem, right? So the before stage. Then there is the next stage, which is once they've learned about you and they're making a decision and engaging with you in some way.
Okay.
Then there's a stage of once they have engaged, bought, used the service maybe, or the product, what's the next, the after?
Okay.
So, you know, most of the time people just focus in on when the customer and themselves are already in contact. So this expands you to think, okay, three phases, but you really need to think a little bit more granular. So you plot out those three, but then you want to actually get a little bit of a better sense of what exactly that discovery process looks like. What is that engagement process looks like? So let me give you an example. A product development company does custom product developments for other startups, whatever, that come to them, right? So step one is the startup identifies that they need help designing their product, right? Step two, they're looking for information about who can help them with their design. Step three, they're talking to product design companies, as well as weighing the pros and cons of designing it themselves by hiring an expert. Step four, they're initiating work with your company. They're getting NDAs in place, negotiating a contract. Step five, you're kicking the work off together. Step six, you're doing the work and you're meeting with their team to give them information about the progress. Step seven, you're handing the information off to the customer so that they have the documentation to manufacture the product. This is where your engagement ends. But step eight, that customer is going off to find a manufacturer to manufacture some prototypes. And step nine, they come back to you with questions and revisions for manufacturing based on prototype testing and so forth and so on. And so you can see that by plotting their journey, you first start to understand what are they going through. And then what you do is you start to put the touch points on the board for when they're touching your company or they have the opportunity to touch your company. So let's say if you're starting with the startup identifies they need help designing their product. How did they find that out? Was there a touch point that you created or could you have a touch point that creates that step, right? The step two is looking for information about who can help them. Where are you on that map? Where do you sit on in that process?
Yeah.
Hey, when they're going to the manufacturers to get prototypes made, are you engaged in some way? Do you have a touch point? Do you send them a list of manufacturers you've worked with before that you recommend? Because you could have an opportunity to create value, even if that's not your product or service, to have that extra touch point. So you can see that you're understanding your customer journey, and now you're also starting to think design and challenges. So, okay, so you plotted that out. You have your touch points with the customer, and you typically ask two or three of these questions. You ask, what's the customer thinking right now? What are they thinking about and worrying about and concerned about during this step of the process? You ask, what are the actions they're actually taking during this step of the process?
Okay.
And what are they feeling during this step of the process?
Panic,
happiness, confusion. They could be feeling, you know, they could be feeling nothing. They could just not be thinking at all about anything. They might just be going along their day and not feeling anything about it until something happens.
They could be doubting whether or not their solution is effective or viable.
I could be feeling overwhelmed, or they could be on vacation for Christmas while you're doing the work, and they could be feeling relieved.
Sounds like personal experience there.
So you're kind of capturing all this information about this journey, and this is kind of the discovery part of the process. But then in the design part of the process, you're starting to articulate specific things you could be doing to have more touch points or to address those concerns that the customer's having, which is not necessarily, and I want to make this clear, those aren't necessarily concerns about your product. So let's take a medical device, for example. A patient is undergoing an emotional journey. Most of the time they're in the seat of having to use a medical device of some sort. And if you are capturing at a time when everything is sad and hopeless or everything is confusing and you're creating more confusion through your documentation, are you helping or are you hurting the problem? And the doctor is in a particular journey as well. And they're not probably in the same exact emotional state as the patient, but they're probably undergoing a journey where they have different concerns and worries related to that patient and also to their broader work as a medical provider. And so if you understand the journey and what the experience is, then you can solve for the different problems that occur at the different stages of the engagement.
That makes sense. And in your example too, that doctor, yes, that he or she may have different things on their mind, and that probably changes a lot depending on what kind of doctor. Mm-hmm. You know, an oncologist may have different concerns than a dermatologist, but it also may be patient specific too.
And depending on where they're getting treated or is, you know, sometimes you have, I mean, we took a pretty specific example of a medical device, but you know, sometimes you might have multiple people. There's a physical therapist, for example, an orthopedist, mm-hmm. and both of them might be in a position to provide, for example, a brace. And depending on where that's happening in a small physical therapy clinic, in a large hospital right after the surgery, or in the doctor's office during the second visit, those things are customer journey related information you want to know.
Or if you're a small rural hospital versus a major metro hospital. Yeah, there's so many variables.
That's right. But the purpose of the tool is really to help you organize this information and just get out of your own perspective as the person creating the technology or selling the product and get into the perspective of your customer, see things from their perspective and discover opportunities where you can have a positive touch point and deliver value to the customer, even if it's not in the exact location of your primary product or service time-wise.
When using this tool, mm-hmm. have you ever seen an example of when a client thought that their customer that they were mapping this journey for was this description, and it turns out it was actually a different version of a customer profile?
Yeah, I think one time I was doing this exercise, and, you know, personas is another tool that people use, and the customer journey and the personas tool, they're linked. And so, you know, what we discovered is there was, the company had commercial clients and defense clients, and the defense clients were small businesses and large businesses. And the small business working for defense was pretty similar to both the large and the small commercial client, except for the startup size commercial client. But the large defense company was a very different animal, and they had a very different way of engaging. And so we went through the process of doing personas, which is different from a customer journey because you try to understand a particular type of individual. You actually create a very detailed characterization of a person, including, you know, things that might be completely unrelated, what news they watch, do they care about football or not? Like it can be a little bit, you know, it's a little bit more of a marketing tool in terms of how deep you go. But through that, once you overlay that with the customer journey, you start to think about what are their concerns at different points of the journey. And I have a really interesting example. So a very specific thing that happened, again, that small business defense, the commercial client, very similar, the large defense contractor, something very different, is one of the things that in it, and it sounds so trivial, but like the progress reports that a company puts out on the progress of their project was very, very important. The format and the style and the consistency for the larger defense contractor, they had project managers reporting to project manager, reporting to project manager. And so not only did they have to have these reports consistently on a cyclical basis, but also very important, because of the number of people in the decision-making process and how official those kinds of meetings were, my client, they were having a hard time articulating their message up top to like the senior people, right? So what the solution was is developing as a feature of working with us, like, here's how we're going to do reporting, and creating our own reports that were then handed off to the project manager, so that instead of them trying to invent this kind of report from some conversations or meetings, they actually had an official document consistently auto-generated whenever they needed it. And it was our voice talking to the senior person.
Oh.
So it was solving two problems at once. You're not getting, you know, airtime with the most senior decision makers because of the way a large organization like that is run.
Right.
And you're also solving the direct concerns of the project managers who are like in a constant cycle of creating reports. And, you know, before we did the customer journey, we just thought, you know, we had constant regular meetings with the clients, so it felt like we're giving them information, but they needed it in a Gantt chart, in a report, in a format, so that they could then press print and take it to meeting. And that little tiny value add, just, you know, we're not even talking sales here. We're talking like it just eliminated so much time that the both teams spent going back and forth. It gave us confidence that at least the senior person, even if we're not talking to them directly, they're getting information that we have in our voice with our information in it and not through like 10 people. So it solved the friction that was going on between teams during development process. And the customer journey is what helped us understand that this was actually important to the client. And we could solve it, even though that's not the product or service that we sell.
So the breakthrough here, the bottom line, is the customer journey elevated you from a vendor to an embedded partner.
That's right. And then, you know, that became integrated into how you just ran the process for the company. And it became part of it actually became part of the product development cycle for that company. Mm-hmm. There were actually specific things related to these problems the project managers had became part of the product life cycle.
Yeah. For a large defense company like that, it kind of makes you irreplaceable as a vendor. It really does. Yeah. And it's knowledge that you gain through this customer journey map. Okay, so let me ask you, there's got to be best practices. I mean, there's best practices for everything. So what are some of the best practices that you would use with this tool of customer journey mapping?
Let's talk first about a couple of don'ts.
So okay.
The customer journey map is not about standardizing your customer experience through a customer journey design that you're, you know, that everybody is cookie cutter because you've put it into a process map like a customer journey. Yeah. It can help you improve your process and be aware of your process, but you don't want to use it like a cookie cutter design. You might have multiple journeys for multiple customers or different engagements, and there might be multiple ways that customers navigate those journeys. And so you want to be cognizant of that. You don't want to, you know, you see it as a process map suddenly, and now every customer, you just get this one document and then you get this next touch point. Don't do that. From a marketing perspective, you want to make sure that if you are using it for designing of your touch points and how you reach out, that it does not create a boring routine. It's like something happens, it triggers an email. Something happens, it triggers an email.
It's not automation.
Right. And and we're not maximizing touch points here. We're not maximizing for quantity. We're trying to understand and design a good experience that's comprehensive and takes into consideration the customer. So we're not like, where else can I touch the customer? Like, how many things can I send them? Based on how they engage with things. That's not the goal.
So it's more of a maximizing quality?
It's about quality and it's engagement? About delivering value to your customer, right? And so if you're looking at it from a marketing perspective, you might be thinking about how marketing creates value for your customer along the journey. And how do you create meaningful touch points is really the question. Okay. And similarly, don't just rely on your own perspective. When you're doing customer journey mapping, it's not,
well, you're not the customer.
Exactly. You use data. You can use data. You know, you can learn a little bit from online research. You have your own client data. You can, again, interview your clients. We talk about that often here on the show. You can interview your customer support or service people or whoever gets called in your company whenever problems arise and just ask them to contribute. Like, what are the problems people call about? What happens when, you know, you haven't seen a client for a year and they come back? What's different? What have they done in the in-between time? So you want to bring a couple teams in. You want to get different perspectives, including your customer's own perspectives into the process. So, okay, so those are the don'ts. Don't standardize, don't make it boring, and don't ignore other people. Don't just make it come from your own head.
I just had a little brain explosion thought here. So you said you can interview your customers, you can interview your employees, internal people. My little sales and marketing head is spinning over here. Have you ever seen it happen where one of your clients or you serving the client has interviewed your competitor's clients? What do you love about your competitor experience?
Ooh, yeah, that's a great idea.
I'm not even going to charge you for that one, Dasha.
Oh, yeah. Putting it in my pocket, in my toolbox it goes with the customer journey.
That's a great idea. It's not just know your customer, know your competitor's customer too.
So let's talk about some of the do's of the customer journey.
Please.
So best practices. Okay. Consider how various functions of the company participate in the customer journey, get their input. You can map some responsibilities onto that. You know, you can start, depending on how you're using this tool, you can map responsibilities of your company to it. Do drill down on the learnings that, especially ones that go contrary to your assumptions, that's a really great signal that you might not have the full information. You might get valuable insights about your customers or discover opportunities for improvement or further value delivery or even new products and services that you could be offering. Do build data collection opportunities along that customer journey through your marketing, sales, and customer service in order to test out your assumptions about your customer journey. Because we're neither creating a single one person's journey nor like a, there's some assumptions built in. So you want to kind of test it out, especially if you're doing it for the first time, especially if you're doing it during a product launch, because you're usually building a lot of things from assumptions at that point. And document the customer journey when you do this exercise, since, you know, you've already taken the effort to do it. Great that you have it on a whiteboard, but capture it and, you know, save it from the date when you did it and what you focused on. And then you want to update it and refer back to it over time and have it as a tool for your team to think about and use for valuable insights over time. It's not a one-time exercise.
You made a perfect point there. Don't update and override it.
Yes.
Keep a diary.
Exactly.
Keep an archive. That way you can see as maybe trends happen. You know, so many things in life are cyclical. That which was old is new again. So if something worked in the past and then it stops working, it may work again. Mm-hmm. So you can always evaluate that. Keep iterating, but don't overwrite. Keep a history.
Right. And you do need to update this over time. How often, I guess, is a question that really is how, it, you know, it depends. But there are some things that you can think of as triggers for when you should pull this tool out.
Yeah. Let's talk about, first of all, when it should be used and pulled out for the first time. And then what might be some of those triggers for when you need to revisit?
Look, when you're launching your product or service for the first time, you really want to make sure you've plotted this out, because a lot of the times people, this is where like companies will have a problem happen, because they've thought about the process before the product is sold, once the product is sold, and then immediately after that, they haven't thought very far ahead of what happened to the customer after, for example, and what the problems they might experience as they're using the product or service, and who are they going to call, and what is their experience going to be of that. So it can help with some real operational planning for launch. Yeah. That's a no-brainer. But there are some really specific problems I found where this tool is particularly useful. So number one, if your team has some silos between sales, marketing, customer service, or even sales and marketing may be working great, but the product or service team that's actually delivering the product, if you're feeling that those teams are disconnected, the customer journey is a tool that brings everything together, because it refocuses everybody's attention back on the customer. Mm-hmm. So it's a very good, you could say, team building activity. It's a very good, let's appreciate who is doing what in this work with the customer and do it from a customer's perspective to ensure that we're working as one team. So that's a team problem fixing tool. If you are introducing new features or new service offerings or something about how you're working with your customer is going to be different, you want to plot this out to ensure that you're not missing some important touch points with the customer, or that the changes is not creating habit changes for your customer that they are going to, you know, feel strongly about. So it's like a change management tool. If you're having customer retention problems, the customer journey is probably one of the tools you want to be looking at to help you understand why.
I would say it's probably the best tool.
It's probably the tool for the job. Yeah. And similarly, if you are going through your sales pipeline and you're not converting, or you're not really sure why you're not converting, you know, there's this whole process before people get to you, and you need to understand what's leading people into your company and the touch points before, because that could be part of the answer. And the sales pipeline, which is a wonderful tool, and you should be looking at your sales pipeline, but the sales pipeline says nothing about the customer before they came into the sales pipeline or after that sale is done. So this tool should be used in addition to the sales pipeline whenever you're looking at your sales pipeline to see it from the customer perspective.
So Dasha, you and I have known each other for a while, and you know I try and interject humor into everything. One of my tenets in life is, if you're not laughing, you're not doing the right thing, or you're not doing it right. So I'm going to do a little analogy here. Mm-hmm. So we did the very detailed customer journey mapping when you're doing a discovery or a product rollout or something like that. So a lot of our viewers, I'm sure, are looking at it from a sales and marketing perspective. So I'm going to break it down for you here. Sales and marketing. Customer journey starts when you're looking at each other across the room. Maybe you're smiling and flirting. The sales part is the courtship. When you actually close the deal and then you've got to service them, that's when you're in marriage counseling. So from every single stage, there's different touch points. So look at them, see what your customer, I believe you said, what they're thinking, what they're doing, what they're feeling. Mm-hmm. Who touches what? Who in the department? Who in every department? And address that accordingly. How was that for humor?
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
So there's a really good article I totally recommend reading, anybody who wants to dive in a little bit further. And if anybody's bells were ringing, oh yeah, if I don't want to design my marketing to be routine and constantly repetitive, this article covers this as well. So it's from Harvard Business Review, and it's called What You're Getting Wrong About Customer Journeys. Very catchy title. We'll link it in the show notes.
Check it out. Well, we will see you next time when we're talking about more fabulous topics to help you grow your business.